Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God from today's Holy Gospel in Luke 5. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is God's word. You ever felt like asking, "God, what are you doing?" You ever felt like asking God why he's not more involved, or why he's not doing something different, or why he's not clearly communicating his will in a time of uncertainty? Tempting to feel like that lately, but you know what? When you think about it, it's always tempting to feel that way. Maybe you feel like Elijah, frustrated with a ministry that was falling apart. "Lord, I've been very zealous for you. They're putting all the prophets to death. Now they want to kill me too." Not a very successful ministry Elijah had going. I want you to notice how the Lord came to Elijah. He wasn't in the earthquake or the great wind or the fire. Instead, we read, he was in the sound of a low whisper that caused Elijah to wrap his cloak around his face. We'd love for God to make himself known, wouldn't we? And boy, an earthquake, a wind, or a fire might be the most 2020 way that God could possibly show himself, wouldn't it? But he came to Elijah in a whisper. And what's the thing about a whisper? If you're not listening closely, if you're not paying attention, you might miss it. God came to Elijah and spoke to him, comforted him, promised him that he would deliver him and continue his ministry to the people of Israel. He promised that in a voice that you might not expect. Now switch to our epistle from 1 Corinthians 1. Again, Paul explains to us how God deals in ways that are unexpected. He actually saves the world through a cross. Now, you have to understand how bizarre that would have sounded, how absolutely ridiculous it would have sounded to the people to whom Paul was spreading the gospel and teaching. Got to keep in mind, city of Corinth is in modern-day Greece. The Greeks had ruled that part of the world just a couple hundred years before Paul. And now the Romans ruled it. So you had Greek influence and Roman influence. And what do we know about the Greeks and the Romans and their gods? That there's a bunch of them, right? Zeus and Apollo and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter. All these gods, there's a bunch of them, and they're what? They're powerful. They have power over sun, power over moon, power over the dead, power over the sea. All these different powers these gods have. And then comes this Christian God, and what's his power? How does he save his people? He dies. He dies. Utterly nonsensical to the people Paul had to bring the gospel to. And yet, as Paul reminds the Corinthians, that even though it's folly to the Gentiles, or the cross may be a stumbling block to Jews, that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God doing his thing in a way you would not expect. Now we get to our gospel, and here it starts to look like we expect it to, right? Fishermen out on the sea, catching nothing, and then Jesus shows up and boom, two boats full of fish, a big successful catch, and that's what we expect God to be doing, right? Peter falls on his knees before his Lord Jesus and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus tells him, "Simon, do not fear, from now on you'll be catching men." How'd that go for Peter? Read about Peter throughout the Gospels. Foot in his mouth, one time after another. Jesus is arrested and put on trial, and Peter denies him three times. But then after Jesus rises from the dead and restores Peter and gifts him with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, how's that all go for Peter? Where did preaching the gospel and following Jesus Christ get him? Dead. There's a tradition in the church. We don't know if it's true or not. There's a very real possibility that it is true. That says that St. Peter was put to death around 67, 68 A.D., The ruler at that time was a guy named Nero. He was the Caesar at that time. And Nero, we now know, liked to come up with unique and creative ways to torture and put to death the Christians. And so when Peter was about to be put to death, it's said that they were about to nail him to a cross, which is one of the most torturous ways to put someone to death. And it's said that St. Peter, before they nailed him to his cross, said, "I am not worthy to be put to death in the same way as my Lord Jesus. Would you put me on my cross upside down?" So it said that's how Peter died. By every worldly measure, what Peter was called to do in following God, in following his Lord Jesus Christ, was not working out, not going to how we would plan things. Not a success. Let me ask you this. Did Peter's mission, his catching of men, succeed? Are not you and I here today hearing that word that Jesus himself entrusted to him and the other apostles and sent them forth to proclaim? Has that word not been handed down over nearly 2,000 years so that you and I today can hear of a God who provides for his people forgiveness and life and salvation even when we don't see it? God forgive us if we have not noticed him at work during COVID, during 2020, during the last decade, all throughout history. You see, the Lord who provided vengeance against the enemies of Elijah, the Lord who provided the message of the gospel to St. Paul, the Lord who provided a miraculous catch of fish to St. Peter, is the Lord who provides you the promise that he has not by any means abandoned you. That he is still a God at work. Remember, you can miss a whisper if you're not listening, if you're not paying attention. How often have we missed where God is at work in plain sight. We, God's people, we look for a rushing wind, an earthquake, a fire, something big and impressive. And again, maybe lately we're longing for that more than other times, that God would just show himself. But you see, the thing is, he has. God, forgive us for not having seen that. Sins are being forgiven. People are joined to Christ in the waters of holy baptism. And in Christ they gather to feast on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. These things, the word that's preached, the baptism in which we live, the meal that we eat, they're whispers. And if eyes of faith aren't open, you might miss that God is right here among you. That God is accomplishing his purposes, even when you can't see the outcome. I know that's, for me, that's one thing I've been wrestling with right now. If I were to kind of let you into my mind a little bit, what's the outcome of all this? What's the outcome of COVID-19 and racial injustice and protests? What's the outcome of the tension between both sides of the political aisle? What's the outcome of our relationship with China and all the things that we're given cause to worry about? Do you want to know what the outcome is? Jesus lives, and you will live. That's what the Lord has provided you. That's how all this ends. In between, God only knows, right? In between, they may take our lives. They may take our ability to worship the Lord Jesus Christ out in the open. They may take away the freedoms and liberties which we as Americans so prize. But you know what cannot be taken from you? That Jesus lives and has risen from the grave. And you hear that now, this morning, in what might be just a whisper. I get it, I'm not whispering. I'm actually talking a lot louder than a whisper. But in the grand scheme of things, what's my voice? What's your voice? I can project my voice through a microphone. I can put it in an FM transmitter and put it out to the parking lot. I can stream it on Facebook so that people really all over the globe can watch it. But really, how many are listening? In here, maybe 30 today, a few more in the parking lot, a group on Facebook. Who's really listening to my voice? It's really just a whisper when you think about it. It's certainly not a wind or earthquake or fire. But when the voices of God's people tell of his love in Jesus Christ, well, a bunch of collective whispers can make quite an impact. St. Peter, called to follow his Lord Jesus Christ, got out of the boat that day and followed his Lord, and we can surmise that he had no idea what awaited him. Perhaps he even had moments when he thought it was all failing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the church is not failing because God still speaks. The Lord provides you with his word of forgiveness, his promise of life, and his victory over the devil. That can't be undone. That word can't be silenced. That word is your victory. What the Lord provides you, as he's always provided for his people. So listen for it. You know where to find it. You know exactly where sins are forgiven, life is promised, and salvation is offered. The Lord will always provide these things to us. He will never remove his salvation from the people who listen for it. Thanks be to God for the word our Lord has provided us, that has saved us, filled our hearts with hope, and assured us that our Lord has never, ever left us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.